Please turn with me to Revelations chapter 8. I'll be reading the whole chapter. When the Lamb opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven for about half an hour. Then I saw the seven angels who stand before God, and seven trumpets were given to them. And another angel came and stood at the altar with a golden censer, and he was given much incense to offer with the prayers of all the saints on the golden altar before the throne. And the smoke of the incense with the prayers of the saints rose before God from the hand of the angel. Then the angel took the censer and filled it with fire from the altar and threw it on the earth. And there were peals of thunder, rumblings, flashes of lightning, and an earthquake. Now, the seven angels who had the seven trumpets prepared to blow them. The first angel blew his trumpet, and there followed hail and fire mixed with blood, and these were thrown upon the earth. And a third of the earth was burned up, and a third of the trees were burned up, and all green grass was burned up. The second angel blew his trumpet, and something like a great mountain burning with fire was thrown into the sea. And a third of the sea became blood. A third of the living creatures in the sea died, and a third of the ships were destroyed. The third angel blew his trumpet, and a great star fell from heaven, blazing like a torch, and it fell on the third of the rivers and on the springs of water. The name of the star is Wormwood. A third of the waters became wormwood, and many people died from the water because it had been made bitter. The fourth angel blew his trumpet, and the third of the sun was struck, and the third of the moon, and the third of the stars, so that a third of their light might be darkened, and a third of the day might be kept from shining, and likewise a third of the night. Then I looked, and I heard an eagle crying with a loud voice as it flew directly overhead, "Woe, woe, woe to those who dwell on the earth at the blasts of the other trumpets that the three angels are about to blow." This is the word of God.
Very good morning. I'm Veronica. Elder David started the prayer sermon series last Sunday on Acts chapter 4. And today we will continue to look on prayer from Revelation chapter 8. And I hope that at the end of the sermon, all will receive some revelation from God. No? Yeah. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for this time of privilege getting together in this manner. God, we pray that, Lord, may your presence be with us. And Lord, touch our hearts, Lord God, and speak to us through your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We have almost reached the end of the year. Can you imagine the whole year is almost past? How has the year been for us? Now, I went through our church prayer meeting slides for the entire year and trying to recap what did we pray for at our prayer meetings. Now, two things caught my attention. Firstly, is our world. Our world is really full of turmoil and suffering. We pray for protection from terrorism, which is still happening now. We pray for God's mercy upon our nations in Asia, experiencing earthquakes and floods. We also pray for the new succession of leadership in government in the countries around us, and also the urgent issue of 377A in Singapore. Now, these were just some issues we prayed about, but there are many other issues happening around us, like civil unrest in some countries resulted that people have to flee from the country and they become refugees in other nations. And of course, not to say many had suffered from poverty, injustice, exploitation, and ill treatments. As we read the newspaper, we can't help but notice stories about corruption, vices, and wickedness happening in the world and around us. Now, we pray for such issues, and yet our world is getting worse and not better. Sometimes we wonder, do the prayers of God's people really work? We ask, no, how long until the suffering ends? How long until God vindicates and judges the wicked? How long until Christ will come again and reigns on earth? Now, second thing that caught my attention is we pray for the sick and their caregivers. Now, we have prayed for some of our church members and friend members who have terminal illnesses and death in the family. Now, the pain of suffering, only God can understand. And maybe some of us who are going through difficult times, be it sickness, problems at homes, in school, in workplace, that seems to be unresolvable. Maybe we suffer injustice of some kind. And we ask God, how long do I need to go through this? How long must I or my loved one suffer this painful disease? How long will you vindicate me, O God? We pray so much, but no significant changes. We sometimes wonder, will our prayers really change things? We feel hopeless, even helpless at times, and we feel even like giving up in praying. Why pray? This is life. We resign to our fate on this earth and in our situation. Do you feel this way? How long must we wait? How long? How long? As we enter into this worship hall this morning, are you struggling with this question? How long that question has been ringing through the prayers of God's people for thousands of years now. In Revelation chapter 6, verse 10, he tells us that the believers were killed for God's word and suffer for Christ's name. And they were crying out to God and say, O sovereign Lord, holy and true, how long before you will judge and avenge our blood on those who dwell on the earth? Now, this was a desperate cry of the suffering Christians. Are we one of them today? What do you think is going to look like when God decides it's time? It's time to answer my people's prayer. Let us start in chapter 8. Now, to understand chapter 8, we first need to have a background on the setting in heaven. My first point is, our God is sovereign over heavens and on earth. If you look at the chart, this is a picture of the throne in heaven specified in chapter 4. Now, God is seated at the throne right in the middle. Surrounding God's throne is the 24 thrones seated by the 24 elders, with many angels indicated by the stars. And there are four living creatures. Now, the Lamb here is Jesus Christ. Now, before the Lamb, there are seven stars and seven lambs, okay? Which represent the angels of the seven churches, and the seven lambs are the seven churches. Now, we must know that this is the scene of heaven. Now, this is very important when we study Revelation, because it tells us what's happening in heaven. It tells us about the spiritual realm. It contrasts the heavens and the earth, and these two realms are interconnected. Apostle John, who wrote Revelation, stood at the intersection of these two realms. He could view the earthly world from heaven through the heavenly visions. So how do these two realms interconnect? Does what happens on earth also happen in heaven? Is what happened on earth is a consequence of what happens in heaven or vice versa? Now, no matter what is our interpretation, now one thing remains the same and unchanging is this, that our God sits on the throne in heaven, and this attests to his absolute sovereignty over the heavens and earth. Now, this is a very important truth about who God is. In the midst of all the sufferings and troubles of our world, in the midst of what we are going through, it may make us perceive that with our human eyes, that God is not in control. The evil one is. But do not be deceived. Our God who sits on the throne in heaven is immovable, and he's in absolute control of the heavens and the earth. What does it mean? It means that God knows everything that is going around us and in our lives, in the world. He knows and will do something about it in his timing. Now, how long was the question that we asked earlier? Now, God wants us to tell us that he remembers and he will do something about it. Now, no matter what, let us be encouraged that our God remains sovereign in heaven and on earth. Our hope is in him. Now, my second point is this. In God's sovereign plan, the prayers of his people will be answered. Now, chapter 8, verse 1 is very interesting. It tells us that when the Lamb opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven for half an hour. Now, what does this mean? Why was heaven in silence for 30 minutes? To understand this, let me give you a simple background. Now, on this chart, as you can see, it gives us an overview of chapter 6 to 9. Now, there are six seals of judgments, of conquest, famine, and death in chapter 6. Then chapter 10 is an interlude of people coming together before God. Then chapter 8, verse 1, mentions of the seventh seal. And when the seventh seal is open, then the seven angels were given the seven trumpets. Then this will be mentioned in verse 9 until right to chapter 9. Now, these are the trumpets of more severe judgment, as you can see later. Now, here, so sandwiched between these six seals of judgment and the seven trumpet is this verse 8, verses 1 to 6. Now, this passage creates a suspense in the heavenly activities. Now, what do I say that? Now, let us put together and imagine now. Now, remember the scene on the throne in heaven, okay? Remember that God seated on the throne, Jesus was there, angels, elders, creatures, and people gathered to worship God. The sound of worshiping movements all happened in heaven. Then when the seals of judgment were opened and poured on earth, now, there are a lot of things, the sound of thunder, lightning at on. Can you imagine the sound and the movements of people were in heaven? But then suddenly, you imagine that, you know, well, it was dramatic and busy, you know. Then imagine that we are singing in choir in the National Stadium, okay? We're all immersed in singing, in the emotion. Then suddenly, the conductor give a hand signal, stop. Everything sing halfway and we just open our mouth. We don't know what's going on. Now, this is the suspense that this verse 1 creates in heaven. Now, this is important. Why? That why is this suspense in heaven and why that God silenced the heaven for 30 minutes? This is to allow the prayers of the saints to be heard. How do we know that? Let's look at verses 3 and 4. Now, in these verses 3 and 4 that was read just now, that the angel stood at the altar and offered incense to with the prayers of the saints at the golden altar before the throne. And the smoke of incense rose before God from the hand of the angel. Now, when in verse 3, the altar of censer and incense are those temple instruments. And this censer mentioned is a ladle-shaped object. Its composition of gold indicates it's worthy of its purpose. The incense here explicitly represents the prayers of all the saints offered before the heavenly temple. The saints are the persecuted Christians, believers who suffer for Christ's name in chapter 6, verse 10. So the prayers of all the saints actually refers to the cries of prayers of the suffering Christians. Now, the incense offered with the prayers of the saints underscore the pleasing, fragrant nature of the prayers that can be seen to rise visibly before God. And being placed under the golden altar before the throne not only reveals that these prayers will be heard by God, but also suggests that there is something sacrificial about them. So this imagery further tells us that the incense and prayers kindle and sustain the fire at the altar. Now, verse 4 says, the smoke of the incense with the prayers of the saints rose before God from the hand of the angel. Now the smoke of the cries and prayers of the saints before God and before the altar encourage us that the certainty that the prayers are received by God himself. So in a nutshell, verses 3 and 4 gives us the assurance that our sovereign God will receive and hear the prayers of his people. This is a response to the cries of the suffering Christians in the text. As God hears the prayers of these suffering Christians, God will also hear our prayers as well. Now, this is God's promise for us. This is the reason why we should pray, because our sovereign God will hear our prayers as promised. Our prayers will not be in vain. Let us believe it. Thanks be to God for such a wonderful assurance that he will hear our prayers. This should encourage us to endure whatever situation we are in right now. Like the suffering Christians in the text, they were told to wait a little longer until God's time has arrived to answer their prayers. So we too need to wait a little longer until God's timing has come for us as well. Now, so meantime, what are we going to do? So meantime, while we wait, let us continue to pray. Do not stop praying despite our circumstances or hardships. Our sovereign God will hear our prayers as he promises us. Let us endure in our prayers and in our circumstances. Now we thank God for putting us in a community of faith, his church. We do not suffer alone. So our lives on earth are full of challenges and even hardship. We need each other. We need to support each other in prayer. Wherever we are, be it you are at home, school, workplace, or in church after service, or in your cell group, will you find or a few trusted Christian friends to pray together? Will we confide to them and ask them to pray together with us, to journey together with us in prayer and to press on and not give up? Now, I have few church close friends in church. I will confide to them wherever I need prayers. I remember when my mom had a fall on 31st December 2016. I faced a heavy responsibility in caregiving for her as I stay with her. Now, it was very tough to start the new year 2017 this way with a full-time job. At times, I questioned, what is God is doing to me? Life was already so tough, taking care of my dad while he was alive, and now my mother's fall. Now, at the point of time, I wonder, did God really hear my prayers? Because I pray so much. Why didn't God heal her? Should I even continue to pray? Were my prayers in vain? Now, I struggled, but I shared with my friends, and they prayed along with me and journeyed with me. So we need to pray for each other, and let us be the praying church that Elder David challenged us, that will we find someone that we can pray together? We do not suffer alone. When you come and share with us, and we walk with you together too at our prayer meeting, we can pray as well. Now, God has assured us that he will hear and answer our prayers at his timing. So let us press on and not give up, praying for each other and for the church. Now, in verse 5, when the angel took the censer filled with fire and threw onto the earth, there were peals of thunder, rumbling, and lightnings. The prayers of the saints play an essential part in bringing the judgment of God upon earth and his people. The plea of suffering Christians, how long will you judge, Lord? How long will you avenge us? Is here answered. That God is about to answer the prayers of the saints as indicated by the thunders and lightnings and earthquake. Do we believe that our prayer changed things? Verse 5 tells us that this, what takes place in heaven, clearly affects what occurs on earth. And true, and though we cannot see the processes, but many judgments come in response to the prayers of his people. And as we can see from this passage, the heaven was silent so the prayers of God's people could be heard. And our sovereign God assures us that he would hear and answer his prayers, these prayers at his timing. And this should encourage us to endure in praying and wait a little bit longer upon God, despite his silence at times. Now, in God's sovereign plan, the prayers of his people will be answered. My third point is this. Our sovereign God has chosen to make the prayers of his people part of exercising of his will, and it will shape history. Now, while the heavens was in silence, the angels was given seven trumpets. And after God heard the prayers of the suffering Christians, then verse 6 says, now the seven angels are ready to prepare to blow them. Do we see anything suspense in verse 6? The verse 6 tells us that seven angels who have been waiting and now were preparing to blow the trumpets, this means that the time has come for God to do as his promise, is to vindicate the suffering Christians by bringing forth the judgment on earth. And this will be a terrible time of great suffering on earth and its people. How do we know that? Now let us look at this chart. This chart gives an overview of chapter 8. And the four trumpets mentioned represent the plagues in Exodus. Now let's notice the word fire. Because in verse 5, it mentioned the angel took the censer and filled with fire and threw it on earth. Notice the word fire. Okay. Now, verse 7, as you can see, is the first trumpet blew, and hail and fire came on earth, and a third of the earth was burned. This is the plague of hail in Exodus chapter 9. Then in verse 8, second trumpet was blew, and there was a great mountain burning of fire. This is a volcano. It was thrown into the sea, and the living creatures and the sea were destroyed. So in verse 10, the third angel blew, and a great star fell from the sky with burning fire, and it fell on the waters, and the people died from drinking water because it was bitter. So the second and the third trumpets represent the plague of blood and waters in Exodus chapter 7. Then in verse 12, the fourth trumpet was blown, and the third of the sun and moon was struck, and there were no light on earth. Now this is just like when there's a short circuit at home, when the short circuit creates a fire spark, and the circuit is burned, and the room is dark, there's no light. So this, it represents something like this. So the fourth trumpet is similar to the plague of darkness in Exodus chapter 10. Now, very often, the blowing of trumpets symbolizes the pronouncement of the coming judgment. So this passage from verses 7 to 12 tells us that these four trumpets are in fact the trumpets of judgments on earth and its people. And why is fire used in this judgment? Fire here symbolizes destruction, as we can see the results of the judgment in these verses. A third of the land, the sea, the creatures, the water, people were burned up and destroyed respectively. So this coming judgment will be a terrible one, will be a terrible time of great suffering on earth and its people, for there will be a great destruction. Now who? No one can escape. Verse 13 says, woe, woe, woe to those who dwell on the earth. The word woe signifies the harsh nature of the judgment. Now when, and who are those dwell on the earth? These are the people who killed and persecuted God's people. And these people also include those who are non-believers, believers, and those who have rejected Jesus Christ. Do we know that by reusing this place of Exodus in Revelation chapter 8, it tells us that God is still sovereign over the heavens and on earth. He controls the nature and he sends judgment. And God is getting the attention of the world through these things. How do you feel about the coming judgment on this earth and its people? Two things stand up for me. First, the suffering Christians and the righteous will be vindicated and justice will be put into place. This is victory and hope for them and for us. So whatever injustice or suffering for Christ's name that we are seeing or going through right now, God promised that he will vindicate us in his time as promised. Second, I cannot help but think of the unbelievers. I think of my family members and friends who have not known Jesus yet. I think of those who have heard of the gospel but rejected Jesus Christ. What would happen to them when this judgment comes? This creates the urgency for us to pray for the lost. This should spur us to start praying for our family members, friends, and the nations of the world, including Singapore, whom have not known Jesus yet. Why don't we pray together as a church for the lost? At our next year's Money Prayer Meetings, we plan to pray for the unbelievers by name. Why don't we think of one name whom we want to pray for? And next year, you come and share with us, and we'll pray together with you at our prayer meetings. Now, Elder David last Sunday shared on Acts 4, chapter 4, verse 31. He says, "And when they had prayed, the place in which they were gathered together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and continued to speak the word of God with boldness." Let our prayers shake our multi-purpose hall and let God's presence befill them. Let us all come and pray like never before. And let us shake the heavens and on earth. And let us be transformed in the presence of God. Why don't we come? The question is, do we believe our prayers will make a difference in heavens, in the spiritual realm? Do we believe our prayers will change things on earth, in our family, in our workplace, in school, and in our lives? When the seventh seal is opened, there was silence in heavens. The angel presented the prayers of the saints before God, and these prayers became the fragrant incense to God in heavens. And God heard and answered these prayers at his throne. Then these prayers became part of the exercise of God's will in heaven and on earth. It changed the course of history in our world. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, God in this passage tells us that he has chosen to make our prayers part of the exercise of his sovereign plans. It means that our prayers will touch heavens and on earth. It means that together with God, our prayer will shape the history of our era. In Ephesians chapter 4, 2-6, God says, "But God, being rich in mercy, make us alive together with Christ and raise us up with him and seat us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus." Then 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 2. "Or do you not know that the saints will judge the world?" God has given us this privileged position in Jesus Christ. It is our spiritual blessing that God has raised us up and seated with him in the heavenly place in Christ Jesus. We are to judge the world together with God and Christ. So we need to understand and take this privileged position in Jesus Christ and pray in confidence in God's will that our prayers will change the course of history together with God. Do we believe? Our world tells us that we need money and power to change history. We need powerful and rich people to change the world, to impact society. We small people can't do anything. But God is telling us that we don't need money and power. We don't need to depend on powerful and rich people. What we need, God has given us already. He has given us the power of prayer. We need to depend on our sovereign God to change history through our prayers. Now, the hot topic this year in Singapore is about the repealing of 377A, that is the legalization of gay sex. Now, many think that sooner or later, this rule will be removed for it's under the control of human authorities. But personally, I believe that the destiny of Singapore does not lie in human hands. It's under the control of our sovereign God. Do you believe? If we Christians come to pray together and pray in unity about upholding the holiness of God in our country, why would God not listen and do accordingly? Do we know that on 7 October this year, 31,000 Christians gathered in the National Stadium to pray for Singapore? And one of the issues we prayed was for our nation to uphold the biblical manhood and womanhood. Will God answer our prayer? Yes, I believe God would if we Christians pray in unity. I believe together with God, we can be history makers in our time through praying. We must come out of our passive attitude and our defeated mindset. We want to become what God has called us to be in Jesus Christ. Now, after the preparation of this sermon, I am very convicted by God that I want to be a history maker of our time. I will not be pessimistic of things going around me and in me. I will rise up and pray like never before until God changed things in His will. Let us be prayerful Christians. Let us be a praying church that God has called us to be. We will not resign to the fate on this earth. Together with God, we can change things in heaven and on earth through our prayers. Let us be history makers through the prayer, through the power of prayer and praying together. In 1995, Cali, city of Colombia, was recognized as the drug capital of the world. The Cali cartel was the largest and the richest criminal organization in the history of mankind. The drug lords owned the banks, the police station, and businesses. Many journalists were killed for denouncing the criminals, and it was common to see people gunned down on the streets. No one dared to be on the streets. But God raised one person to start the change in the city through prayer. This person was a missionary pastor. Julia was convicted to work in unity with the pastors there, and he initiated to pray together with a group of pastors for the city. But in late 1995, Julia was shot. But this did not stop the Christians to come together to pray in unity. It was reported that 27,000 Christians responded to the pastor's call for a night of prayer, fasting, and repentance. The main petition is, God, please, would you deliver us from violence? Moreover, the mayor of the city prayed that proclaimed Cali belongs to Jesus Christ. The next evening, the newspaper headlines, no homicide. For the first time in memory, no one was killed in a 24-hour period. And again, in the next incident, 60,000 people filled the soccer stadium to repent and cry out to God to deliver Cali from the grip of the drug lords. And a few days later, many of the drug lords were arrested. As a result of Christians repenting and uniting in prayer, the drug cartels were banished from Cali. And there had been a great influx of people into the kingdom of God. If you were to visit Cali today, you may see nothing special about the city, but if you had witnessed what it was prior in 1995, you will notice a great contrast. The story was put into video and was put onto the website. You can Google about it. Now, God heard and answered the prayers of His people in Cali, and together they shaped the history of the city. What a dramatic transformation! It was done because God heard the prayers and the people prayed in unity. Our sovereign God has chosen to make the prayers of His people part of the exercise of His will, and it will shape the history of our era. Will you take up God's call, be the history maker? Let us now take some time to respond to God's word. Shall we all bow? Our sovereign God has willed that the prayers of His people to be done on earth as it is in heaven. He has called us to be part of such historic a moment. Will you take up God's call for you to pray like never before, to pray until God changes things in His will? If you will you tell God that I want to partner with you? I will pray until it touches heaven and earth. God, please help me. I will not resign to the fate on earth. If this is the cry of your heart, will you raise up your hands to God in your commitment to obey, to pray? Will you do that and I will pray for you? I see your hands. Any more hands? I see your hands. Do you want to be a history maker that God has called us to touch heavens and earth through our prayers? If this is your desire, raise your hands. I see your hands. Any more hands before I pray? Okay, let us all pray. God, we thank you that what a wonderful special blessing that you have given us, the power of prayer. And Lord, in Ephesians 2:6, you say, you being enriched in mercy, raise us up with you and seat us with you in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus to judge the world together with you. Lord, you see the hands that has raised up to you today. And Lord, I pray that you'll pour out your anointing upon them as they open their mouth to pray that words not of their own, but the utterance from the Holy Spirit. Lord, make them like the history makers of our time, Lord, in intercession, that your will be done on earth as is in heaven, Lord. Lord, hear our prayers and answer us that we know you will, for because it is your will for us to be intercessors, to be history makers of our time through the power of prayer and praying together. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.